RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Going up until 7 o'clock tonight when Scotty Farrell comes your way on The Fan on this New Year's Eve. Nico and Chris with us along the way. So, Tiki, there is an all-out war against Jackson Dart occurring on the internet. And this is where you...
Why, is this because of his new girlfriend?
Well, by the way.
It's good to date influencers.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, he can't not be a bust now with her.
She's we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
it's now just official. Official.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to pull the Jeter and start signing footballs and hands to these girls.
But here's my number on the laces.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. That's not why the internet's exploding. This is where you keep it squeaky clean, taking off Twitter these days. So everybody loves betting odds now and gambling odds. And after Sunday's action, where the Saints won again and Tyler Shuck got his fifth win.
Yes.
Tyler Shuck went to minus money. Midas money is the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL.
And nine starts?
Yeah, eight. I think he's five and three.
Yeah.
And he owes nobody an apology. I think he's been a pretty good revelation. Kellen Moore is getting the most out of him. He's woken up and unlocked Chris Olave.
Yep.
So none of this is a knock on Tyler Shuck.
Right.
But it is not neck and neck with even Jackson Dart. Totaro McMillan is the other guy right there.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart like plummeted the other way on Offensive Rookie of the Year odds.
Really?
So far the other way. Here's the thing.
Why?
Okay. A lot of this is influenced by betting money, and I'm sure there's a lot of surge coming in on Shuck money. But the why is the big question. What about NFL voters is going to make people vote for Shuck over Dart if this is what's happening? Now, let me just, before I get into planting my case, I'm going to sound like a gigantic hypocrite here, and I understand, because yesterday we had a brief throwaway segment on this very subject where I said, and I quote, who cares about Offensive Rookie of the Year anyway? Because truly, who does care?
Yeah, right.
But for the sake of caring,
for legacy, it matters.
Okay.
If you're going to be an all-time great with your organization or in NFL history, the accolade matters with how you start.
Yes. I think that's a great point. This should not be a win-loss record award. And even if it was, Tyler Shuck, who's beaten some really bad teams, under 500 teams, has had this like cupcake second half of the year schedule. Again, should not apologize. Kellen Moore's got the Saints going well.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart beat the Raiders, which is just as good a win as some of these Shuck wins. But he also beat Jesse Minter's defense with the Chargers. He beat the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and toyed with them in primetime.
Yep.
And in his losses... outside of that mistake versus Denver, that's in Denver. What Jackson Dart did versus that defense.
Yep.
What Jackson Dart did in Chicago on a nasty weather day before getting the concussion. And he's had a couple of these other games where you knew when watching Jackson Dart. It's why we feel confident. It's why the Giants head coaching job is attractive anyway. So as it stands right now, passing yardage wise, Tyler Shuck's got 2,125 passing yards. Jackson Dart has 2,042, almost identical. 11 total touchdowns, both on the ground and through the air for Tyler Shuck, 22 for Jackson Dart. He's doubled him in touchdowns. Both have thrown 5 interceptions, QB ratings close to the same, and Jackson Dart rushing yards-wise is
significantly.
300 yards more rushing. It's incredible.
Tyler Shuck's got 152.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart has 455.
455, and yet percentage.
And 9 touchdowns.
Percentage-wise, tell me how there's now a 1% chance for Jackson Dart to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but nearly a 50% chance for Tyler Shuck to win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
It's only because of the perception of the team and the perception that the Saints are getting better, even though, as you mentioned, those wins are against the Carolina Panthers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are faltering in the second half of this season.
Right, I think they beat the Bucs twice.
Exactly. The Carolina, yeah, they beat them earlier. No, they lost to the Bucs earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was without Shuck, though. So, but they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers again, destroyed the Jets, and beat the Tennessee Titans. Those are the victories. I mean, there's not an above 500 team on, I think, in any of those. They lost to the Dolphins, and they lost to the Falcons with Tyler Shuck, and they got beaten, destroyed by the Rams with Shuck. So, look, he has 5 wins. Jackson Dart has 3 wins. So, but the direction of the Giants feels like they're treading water, whereas the directions of Kellen Moore's New Orleans Saints feels like they're building something that's going to be very relevant next season.
Okay.
It's a perceptual thing.
Okay, but here's
I don't think it's a reality thing.
All right, and this is exactly why it's not a reality thing. Again, you play with who you got, you play versus who you play versus, and I understand all of that. Man, Shuck has unlocked Chris Olave. You want to talk about stats and punish Jackson Dart for wins and stats? Is Shuck having Darius Slayton and Theo Johnson dropping big pass at the big pass
of
this game?
Chris Olave. Chris Olave was a first-round pick who was he was a top 11 pick. He was 11th pick in the draft 2 seasons ago, three years ago now. And yes, he's unlocked by Tyler Shuck. How has Wandell Robinson unlocked by Jackson Dart?
Yeah, he has his first 1,000-yard receiving season. But I guess I was saying to say, Neighbors hasn't played. Mm-hmm. He lost Scataboo, and they went through this, the long losing streak.
Right. But the details don't matter.
No, but nobody cares about the details. And this is the problem with arguing with idiots on the internet. So I like a mistake, trying to fish for content here, threw out something to the effect of, I'll just read it to you because I got killed for this, Tiki. As Giants fans, we really need to stop caring and worrying about what Rookie of the Year voting odds say. If the Giants and Saints called and offered Jackson Dart / Shuck to teams, the other 30 teams would take Dart over Shuck quickly. That should tell you all you need to know. Is that a crazy statement?
I think that's fact.
Okay, thank you. And everybody's crying. What are you talking about? The concussions with Dart. Stop saying concussions.
He had one
concussion.
That drives me insane, by the way.
If we've learned anything about Jackson Dart, it's this year. He's actually not injury prone.
No, he's tough.
For how many times everybody wants to throw him in the blue tent, he keeps bouncing back on. I'm fine, guys. I'm a tough football player.
Yes.
I don't understand this. It's madness. Look, the Giants suck this year. It's been a miserable season. I don't need the Rookie of the Year to go to Jackson Dart for me to feel any better about Jackson Dart's future. But all I need to do is just squash the nonsense that suddenly the Giants spiraling means that Jackson Dart has been lapped here by Tyler Shuck in terms of the rookie quarterback play. I don't understand
It's not true, by the way. You can just watch them play and see the impact that Jackson Dart has had versus the impact that Tyler Shuck has had. Again, neither one is bad.
No.
But it's not miles apart.
No,
it's apart. And the problem, I think the problem, and this is a New York issue, because you get Jackson Dart in the blue tent 7 times. Again, 1 diagnosed concussion.
1.
He's not going in there and they're just kind of like, all right, how you feeling? You good? All right, go back out there. They do the real concussion test. It's an independent evaluator. He's had 1 concussion. But when you listen to the conversation after games or even during the week in New York, every one of these beat writers wants to write the same story about Jackson Dart being injury prone because he's constantly in the tent and he had a concussion and he missed a couple of games. But that could happen to anybody.
Of course.
It could happen to a tackle. It could happen to a wide receiver. These guys get crushed. The problem is it's a quarterback in New York. And so you dig deep into it, and the same people or multiple people write the same story over and over and over and over again, and so it becomes the narrative that exists, even though it's not true. And it's funny because there was what was the game where Jameis Winston had to come in? They were in a tight red area. Jameis Winston had to come in.
It was absurd. It was a couple weeks ago.
It was Green Bay. Maybe it wasn't Green Bay. I can't remember.
No, I think it was Green Bay.
And anyways, he has to go into the tent. Missed second and third down. Jameis Winston comes in. He comes in on fourth down. They fail on fourth down. And after the game, Jackson Dart was asked about, what went on with that, going in the tent, and he basically didn't have an answer, and it was like nonsense. I almost wish he would have said, well, if you guys would stop talking about it,
right?
If you as media would stop bringing it up every single time I get hit hard, then this story will go away.
You know why it's a sexy story for them? This all comes back to the night he went into the blue tent and Brian Daboll tried to drag him out of
right.
there. And that was a national TV game.
Right.
That was a crazy fine the Giants got. And remember, this is a lot of reporters who were tired of the Brian Daboll antics and everything. And that became like the big,
right?
Look how desperate Brian Daboll is that
it
he would take an interjection.
Sign.
It became
right.
the calling sign. So then, because this was Dable's guy and everybody thought that he was making Jackson Dart play reckless football because he was so desperate to save his job, it became, look, Daboll already took him out of the blue tent. Look how many times he's put him in harm's way and he's got to go back in the blue tent. It became this spiraling narrative for Giants reporters to keep asking about reporting about. And in the end, all you have to do as a reporter or a fan is watch the NFL every single Sunday, and I could give you 15 examples of quarterbacks getting hit harder than Jackson Dart on plays.
Yeah.
Christmas night, Bo Nix is going headfirst into the end zone, and Kirk Herbstreit's admiring his toughness. Jackson Dart does that, and Pat Leonard wants to ask 15 questions about why they're trying to get Jackson Dart hurt. It has become a spiraling narrative that's out of control that is now, right. I'm convinced, hurt Jackson Dart from winning an Offensive Rookie of the Year for Tyler Shough.
No, it definitely has. It starts to make me also question what the hell the reporter's agenda is. Because it's not real.
No.
He doesn't have a concussion issue. He's not Tua Tagovailoa, where he's unconscious and ticking on the field.
Having the fencing position three times.
That's not what this is. He had one bad concussion, and it was because he fumbled, lost the ball, lost control of his body going to the ground against the Chicago Bears, and he left the game. That was the only one.
That was it.
I know he's been in the tent a lot. That's just the nature of the NFL these days. But what is the agenda? That's what I don't understand. When he gets another concussion, then ask the question. Not every time. Oh, the New England Patriots, they crushed him on the sideline. Oh, you need to protect yourself more? It's football, dude. We're not playing powder puff. I know maybe you never wore a jock strap, but damn, you're going to get hit.
Yep.
It's football.
He bounced right up in that
Patriot. Of course he did, because that hit doesn't hurt.
Right.
It doesn't hurt.
Play. It's a football play. These guys are football players. Jackson Dart's a football player.
And he wants to be tough.
That's it. And Mike.
And he wants to put his body on the line.
And Mike Kafka bit right into all of this narrative. And
right.
I think it hurt him as an interim head coach, and it hurt the Giants the last couple weeks. And lo and behold, boy, maybe you actually have a chance to win games if you let Jackson Dart be Jackson Dart. But nonetheless, stop the Tyler Shough mania. All of us would take Jackson Dart over. 888-808-1019. Rob in Scotch Plains. Rob, what's up?
What's up,
Rob? Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
All right, so I want to talk about this relaxing Jackson idea that I heard every night on the Fan for about 2 weeks.
What is this now?
Explain the relaxing Jackson.
Well, that was Tommy's idea that the Giants should give him a week off.
That's right.
So the idea was send him on spring training, and if the Giants did that, we would look just as embarrassing as the Raiders looked on Sunday. And we're a team right now that's trying to convince top coordinators and coaches to come here, and all we would have done, yes, I'd rather have the first pick, but I would rather not embarrass the franchise and scare anyone with a brain away from coming to our organization to make it competent again.
Well, a couple things can be true here. The Giants, as an organization, have been embarrassed by the win-loss record more than anything, so I don't think anything else would have done that. But at the same token, relaxing Jackson, and I've told Tom this is ridiculous too. The other most important part besides getting the number one pick for the Giants is Jackson Dart needs to head into this offseason feeling good about himself again.
I think you're right.
It's like Abdul Carter,
the conversation we've had around Abdul Carter. He figured out how to prepare, how to take this job seriously as the season last 4 weeks have gone on. Jackson Dart's not dissimilar. You got to figure out how to keep creating success
and
do it consistently.
And Tommy is taking his own advice. He's relaxing Jackson this week. We don't see him here. We haven't heard from him. He's the guy who's sitting out for the higher pick at this point as he prepares for an evening show.
That's right.
Joe in Rockland. Joe, what's up?
How's it going? I'm a big fan of yours, and I love your honesty.
Appreciate it.
Jets game against New England on Sunday with 2.5 minutes to go. Down 35-3, Vrabel has mercy on the Jets and runs two plays. And then he sees that Glenn, like a dummy, calls timeout to try to get the ball back. He's laughing on the sideline. And that's when the whole fight broke out, because he sees that it's a joke. And it's just unfortunate. I'm a big Jet fan, a Glenn fan also. He's in way over his head.
That's a good point.
I'm a mathematician. I'm a mathematician. I can tell any coach what they do in the last 5 minutes and 20 seconds of a half or a game. I can tell you exactly if they know what they're doing. He has no clue.
Yeah. No, it's interesting you brought that situation, that sequence of events up. As of, for those that didn't realize what Joe was talking about, as the Patriots are stomping the Jets. I can't put it any other way. It's 35-3 before the halftime. The Pats are running.
Incredible.
They're just running the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this half is conceded. The game is over.
The game is over before the half.
Yes. And so he's just trying to run to get to the half, man. Go regroup, Aaron Glenn. We'll come back out. We'll play it how it plays. And Aaron Glenn plays it like it's a close game. Like, he calls timeout, like, get a timeout, we get the ball back here. Like, it's a close game.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel, because, look, Raves is, he's a no BS guy.
Right.
And so, to him, that was a BS move.
Yeah, he's saying, I'm trying to be honorable, not embarrass you.
Yes.
You want to do this? Okay.
Right. Exactly right. So, that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not wrong.
No.
You are not competing. I mean, they had so many three and outs in that game. It was unwatchable.
Unwatchable
Jet offensive
and
football.
The fake punts.
And the fake punts.
The fake punts. We just can't do two like that in that short a period of time.
Right.
Jim in West Harrison. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I'm caller number 6, and I do not want those Giants tickets.
It's the Cowboys, though, Jim.
Jim, you know what? You mock, but I'm just going to say this right now. I was at a last game versus the Dallas Cowboys that meant absolutely nothing in a quarterback's rookie year. And that moment is a moment in a game I'll never forget, when Eli Manning handed it off to Tiki Barber to win the game and kind of set forward the Eli Manning era. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
how many people would have mocked
that? Keep that dream alive. Keep that dream alive. Listen. I don't understand why you guys keep on missing this point. Darren is a GM. Darren was picked after Glenn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you let him make the decision? Everybody's lauding him on the trade he's made and what he's doing and the pick he's made so far in his first year. Why not let him make the decision
on Glenn?
Which coach he wants to put in there?
Yeah, because that doesn't.
I mean, Glenn.
But Jim, let me ask. The question to Jim and anybody who espouses what he's saying is the sequencing doesn't make sense for Darren Mooji to have purview over Aaron Glenn. Do you think Aaron Glenn answers to Darren Mooji? That's the question.
Not really, no.
Exactly.
No.
I can't see that.
I'm not sure who Darren Mooji talks to. I think Darren Mooji goes, or I think Aaron Glenn goes to Mooji and goes, yeah, we can dump these guys, let's get picks. And he's GMing by proxy.
Yes. He's basically telling him what to do.
Yeah. Because he sat in that room one time in an interview with Denver and came back to the Jets and said, this is the guy I want to hire as the general manager.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not tied together. Now, the problem, again, is you had Mooji set forth a plan with Glenn with trading the picks, but in the interim, they've been completely baseless and uncompetitive, and the head coach gives you no sign that he could be a head coach, making this entire thing backwards and making this regime immediately desperate to probably trade up for a quarterback this year. And I know we've been hammering this. I meant to bring this up last hour, and I'll say it again. The more you listen to people talk about the draft, and I don't know how much of this is just trying to like force an issue and force talking points, a lot of people are really, Tiki, starting to be hot on the trail of NFL teams are telling these people that Dante Moore's athleticism is going to put him past Mendoza by the time this draft cycle ends.
Interesting.
And if that's the case,
because Mendoza's big. I mean, he's 6'5".
The biggest by far.
Right. He just looks the part.
Mm-hmm. But Moore's athleticism.
Moore's athletic. He's not short. He's 6'3".
No.
A little bit slighter, 210 pounds or so.
But that seems to be, and we're going to see these guys play the next couple days in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But that seems to be like a hot rising topic. Now, that only matters in terms of, could that be quarterbacks going 1 and 2? Could this be all smoke?
Yeah.
But if that's the case, still, you're talking about the Jets, even if they miss out on Mendoza, or if Moore goes one and they love Mendoza, still trading up to that number two spot and allowing these guys desperate enough to make that decision.
Yeah.
And are we sure they're going to love Moore or Mendoza in that spot?
And that's my point. That was my point earlier, is that you got to look at other avenues to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to. The question is, are you going to eat whatever you're still guaranteed to Justin Fields? I think it's only $10 million, but you might have to.
Who was Darren Mooji in the draft room when the Broncos took somebody? Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Bo Nix was not highly sought after and thought of early in the process. What college did Bo Nix go to?
Oregon. There you go.
Start connecting some Mooji dots here with Dante Moore. Kendrick and Sufford. Kendrick, what's up? Happy New Year, man.
Hey, man. Happy New Year, Kendrick.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. I got hit with the flu this past week. With what a way to go out.
Oh, yeah.
2020. It's getting a lot of people here, Kendrick.
Yeah, it was going around.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I was able to get in before the New Year to wish you guys a Happy New Year. And obviously, I'll be locked in when I can on my breaks in the high school day when you take over the middays.
Of course.
I wanted to jump in on this Aaron Glenn conversation, bring a few points. You know, I do have to take the L because almost a year ago, to the day, I was advocating for Aaron Glenn, and I brought up, Tiki, if you recall, you know, Mike Vrabel in Tennessee and his coordinators and how the coaching staff matters, and that's kind of why I was hesitant. Well, it's funny now to look back at Mike Vrabel doing such a great job in New England with such a great coaching staff around him, because when he was in Tennessee, his offensive coordinators were Shane Bowen. But offensively, he had Todd Downing, who was with the Jets, and then Tim Kelly, who's filling in for the Giants right now.
That's right.
So you want to talk about Malik Willis escaping those two guys, and now all of a sudden in Green Bay with a good coaching staff. I would absolutely be in for Malik Willis next year with Aaron Glenn, and here's why, guys. You know, he brought in Chris Bangio, who's been great, and I want to ask a question about special teams in a second, but
yeah.
Bangio has been great. He was a huge mistake with Wilkes. Let's be honest. I've been calling in you guys all year, and you know I've never been a fan of his.
No, I mean, he's failed forward so many times. It's unbelievable how he doesn't have success and then gets another job. It doesn't make sense to me.
100%. I couldn't believe the hire, but he's gone. So I'm hoping that, you know, Aaron Glenn can learn from this failure, and an embarrassment of this year. Because the one thing that I believe has soured this locker room, and you could see they weren't, you know, competing for the coach this past week, is, you know, from day one, he cut Xavier Gibson, and he came up with this idea that, like, if you're not doing your job, then you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
And he held everyone accountable except himself, you know, and it took forever for Wilkes to be held accountable. So for me as a player, if I'm in that locker room, I'm looking around like, coach, what's going on here? Right. And not to mention, probably 70% of that locker room feels like they're not an Aaron Glenn guy. But to be fair to him, you know, Malachi Moore has looked solid. You know, Breece Hall kind of seems to be here for the long haul, I hope.
Yeah.
And some guys have bought in. So, like, once we turn over the roster, we'll see what it is. But he's on thin ice for me next year. But here's the question I have for special teams, because that unit has been a positive this whole year.
No doubt. And Banjo's young. I mean, he's only 35 years old or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I laugh back to this because, Sean, this was one of the first epic callers that you had. I think it was Mario, the Cowboys fan. Remember?
Yeah,
and you went back and forth with him about how they let go of their kicker, and they brought in Brandon Aubrey.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not saying pay this guy whatever it takes, but has there ever been a bidding war for a kicker in the NFL? Because if Nick Folk retires, he's been great for us. I cannot see this Jets team next year lose out on their strength. And has there ever been a bidding war for a free agent kicker? Because I would love to bring him in. And I know the Cowboys are tight and strapped for cash.
That's interesting.
I mean, Kendrick.
That's a good question.
Has there ever been a bidding war for a kicker?
By the way, there should be. Because we're getting to the point where guys like Brandon Aubrey, is not a ton of them, but if you're 55 plus, you're not even thinking about, or 55 under.
Well, especially when the
55 or under, you're not even thinking about it.
And the touchbacks come back to the 35.
Yeah.
Like, it is so, you're two throws away any point late in the game.
Which is exactly what happened in that first Cowboys game.
Yeah.
The ball comes out to the 34-yard line or whatever. The reason, and Paulson Adebo said this after the game, the reason they were playing such a deep zone, at least this was what Shane Bowen's thinking, was because they knew that the line to get was 50.
Right.
And so It's like we just got to try to keep him in front of the 50, you know, on the negative side of the 50.
You're always in it in a close game if you have a kicker like that. And living the world of not having a kicker for a couple of years, and Jet fans have felt this way too, I can't express how important that is.
Right.
Now, that being said, Tiki, I'm falling in love with this Ben Sauls on the Giants.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. Now, look,
when you get automatic so you don't have to think about it, that's when I really like a dude.
It's been refreshing the last 2 weeks.
100. You're not worried about it.
Yeah. Now, look, since last week he kicked indoors. The week before, though, he was bending it in the wind. Look, of all the things that come out of this Giant December and January, maybe they enter next year with this kid who was a rookie this year and they figure out the kickers.
By the way, do you realize that Chris Banjo, his last year in the league was 2022?
Just a couple years ago.
It's 2025. He's a special teams and a damn good one for the Jets.
And dude, these guys rise
he's
up.
36 years old. And it was quick. Denver Broncos for 2 years, assistant special team coach, and then immediately Jet special teams coach.
There was another coach that just came to mind. Oh, I was watching the NFC East Hard Knocks, and I didn't realize that the Cowboys' assistant wide receiver coach is Tyquan Underwood.
Oh, really?
He only played like 3 years ago. I'm watching him conduct a meeting. I'm like, Tyquan Underwood? Didn't he just, like, right. I could have sworn I bet a prop on him a couple years ago. Maybe I'm wrong and he's been out of the league that long.
I'm going to look it up.
Hold on. But that was crazy. I was watching, like, Tyquan Underwood is a coach now? Let's see.
Yeah, I mean... He was born. He's 38 years old. His last game was... No, it was a while.
It was that long ago?
Yeah, it was. I mean, his last game in the NFL was like 2015, 2014.
Oh, wow, so it's been 10 years.
Then he went to Montreal, or Canada. So he was with Hamilton and then Montreal.
Was he a Rutgers guy, too? Is that why he stuck out?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was from Lawrenceville, New Jersey.
All right, perfect.
And went to Rutgers.
Look at me knowing my Scarlet Knights football.
There you go.
You're home for Scarlet Knights football, by the way, WFAN here in New York. All right. Evan's favorite game goes on the second straight week without him. I'm all over it. Posted and toasted coming up Tuesday here at 3:30. The show goes on. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. I'm even going to introduce a game of NFL rumors when it comes to the New York locals called Real or No Real. We're pulling out all the stops here on New Year's Eve. And your phone calls continue 888-808-1019. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sean and Tiki here with you on this New Year's Eve. This is our final Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon slot, meaning a long-running segment that the great Evan Roberts put together comes to an end in the afternoons. Have we had discussions about this continuing into the middays? I don't think we've ironed out all of that.
Probably it will, because it's an easy one to stay behind.
Of course. And that, of course, is posted and toasted every single Tuesday at 3:30 Eastern. Let's see if Nico and Chris have the goods ready.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
All right. You know the deal. It's a tweet from a current WFAN employee. I read the tweet, and I give you the options of who you think it is. Mm-hmm. Tiki guesses, and we go down a rabbit hole of some of these maniacs. Okay. A little New Year's themed I'm giving you here, okay. Tiki.
Let's hear it.
All right. As a single guy, the Times Square New Year's Eve deal does not call to me. 27 degrees, freezing my butt off, watching Taylor Swift, .. I'm not in the mix.
What year was this?
This was 2012. New Year's 2012. Again, as a single guy, the Times Square New Year's Eve deal does not call to me. 27 degrees, freezing my butt off, watching Taylor Swift, I'm not in the mix. Is that Greg Giannotti?
He wasn't single.
Is that in 2012?
I don't know.
2012. Now, that's 13 years ago.
I know.
Greg Giannotti. Is that Chris McMonagle?
Mm.
Is that Tommy Lugauer? Or is that Al Dukes?
I'm going to say that was Tommy.
You and I need to have a three-way.
Nice.
It was Tommy.
Nice. That's what he was doing then, because he was single.
He was single. Exactly. He was did not want to sit there, though, in 27 degrees. Did not call to him, he said, which is interesting. You would think so, but I guess not enough club.
It's really the lack of a bathroom access that wouldn't call to me.
I've thought that forever. When these people and that camera pans to Times Square, and you realize how long they've been standing out there, you could bundle up. We do it for football games, but you could always retreat and go to the bathroom.
100%. And by the way, the retreat into the restroom is warm.
Yes.
It's always warm in the restroom.
I don't understand how you could sit out there and hold it in.
Yeah, no thank you.
No thank you. All right. This tweet, Tiki, from 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
It's perfectly acceptable to have no plans on New Year's Eve without qualifying it by saying it's, quote, amateur hour. Is that Craig Carton? Is that Al Dukes? Is that Jerry Recco? Or is that Boomer Esiason?
That feels like a Recco tweet.
You're wrong.
No Recco. 2 days ago.
Al Dukes?
A nice round ass.
Yeah.
I agree with Al. Everybody likes... That's like everybody's big...
That's a thoughtful. I should have known that was Al, because it's thoughtful.
It is thoughtful.
Anytime it's thoughtful, it's Al.
And when you think about it, he's right about this. When you don't have New Year's Eve plans, or you feel like you've gotten old enough to go, like, I don't need to go out on New Year's, it's always accompanied by this stamp of, it's amateur hour anyway. Yeah.
I mean, it is if you go to the wrong places. But if you go to the right places, like, we're going to a local place, Luco, for dinner, and then we'll go back to a friend's and watch the ball drop. The kids will run around until they pass out.
That's not amateur hour.
It's not amateur hour.
And I think that's what the majority of people do these days. You go to some kind of house party.
Right.
Right? Neighbors, right. Friends, family.
We're actually, this is first for us. We're actually going out to dinner.
I've never done that on New Year's
Eve. So we're going out to dinner, like a regular dinner.
Right.
And then we'll just go hang out at somebody's
house. Like a 6-7 o'clock meal and then go hang out at the 8 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah. Have like a 7 o'clock meal. Be done at, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, have a couple drinks.
Pour some drinks,
and then go to somebody's house for 2 hours and watch the ball drop, then go home.
Doesn't sound like amateur hour to me. That sounds like a perfectly nice thing
100%.
To do. 100%. Perfectly nice thing to do. Okay, let me find. See, I'm not as good as navigating this as Evan. Here we go. All right, tweet number three. I went to Times Square for New Year's Eve once.
I did that once.
Did you?
I did. I'll explain. Keep going.
Okay, we'll do this first. I went to Times Square for New Year's Eve once. I think it was 1991, 1992, or 1993. I went with my friends Paul and Rob. We went to see Joan Jett at some biker bar and then to watch the ball drop. That was way back when I used to do stuff. Is that Al Dukes? Is that Jerry Recco? Is that Mark Malusis? Or is that Chris McMonagle?
That's got to be Moose, right?
You're wrong.
No?
No.
Who's old enough to be going out in 1993? Recco?
You're wrong.
I have no idea.
I threw you for a loop. I gave you an Al one back to back.
Aaron Glenn's a douche.
Al Dukes seeing Joan Jett in 1991, 92, or 93?
You know what? That was the clue. That was the clue.
Joan Jett?
Yes. Nobody else at WFAN doesn't even know who she is, probably.
Yeah.
And has definitely not heard her music. That was the clue. Joan Jett was the one I should have picked up on.
Al Dukes in the early 90s seen Joan Jett at a biker bar in Times Square. Right. I cannot picture that.
How old is Al?
Al's like 50 now, dude.
He's got to be older than 50. Because 1993, I was in high school. I graduated high school, and I'm 50.
So let's say you're 21 years old in 93. That's 83, 73. You're born in 72?
Yeah, so he's 53?
53, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Al's older than you think.
Yeah.
Al's older than you think. And that's, by the way, maybe he's 18. Was 18 the drinking age back then? 91, 92, 93? I don't remember.
In the 90s, you could probably get away with anything.
That's true. That's true. God knows
I didn't. Early 90s in New York City, it was a cluster.
All right. Final tweet. Then I want to get to where Tiki was at Times Square in New Year's. It's the last place I want to be. Here, you ready to go?
Go ahead.
This is February 27th, 2011. So this is after New Year's, but yet New Year's related. Dick Clark just signed up for New Year's Rocking Eve 2012 after seeing Kirk Douglas on stage at the Oscars. Is that Boomer Esiason? Is that Evan Roberts?
No.
Is that Greg Giannotti or is that Chris McMonagle?
That's got to be Greg. Just Gio.
Pictures of your booty.
Yeah, because that's a pure joke.
Very funny tweet.
That's a funny joke.
Very funny tweet. So, Tiki, you have been to Times Square on New Year's.
So, my one and only time going to... This is how I know about the bathrooms and everything else. So, I was working at NBC.
All right.
And they used to have me do some of the holiday stuff. So, I did the 4th of July celebration, one on the East River, one on the Hudson River. They're actually great. Like, Jason Mraz played, and it was actually pretty cool. And then, so, one year, they asked me to do the... to be like a guest host, and I was only going to be on it for like a segment and a half or so. And so they had me in this hotel room overlooking Times Square, and there's all these people down there. And it was awesome. I was just like, this is really damn cool.
So you're getting a good vantage point of a million people.
I see everybody. And I'm like, wait, where are the bathrooms? And they're like right around the corner, but if you leave, you can't go back in. And so all those people standing, and I mean, thousands of people standing there, they have to hold it. Or figure, or go in a cup, or whatever it may be. And so I said to myself, I am never, ever, ever doing that. So I went down there because I was on stage and I read something or introduced some act or whatever it was. It was cool.
Yeah.
But after going and seeing it from like a bird's eye view, I had zero desire to be in it.
I don't get it. I'm going to operate under the assumption that New York City is such like a mega tourism capital city, that is something that others come to New York City to do once in their life. That is my...
Probably right.
That is my big assumption, that, you know, you got somebody from Texas, somebody from California. Like, people go, hey, one year I want to experience Times Square at New Year's, and they fly in and they do that. I cannot fathom, and maybe some of you out there are listeners that have done this, that these people...
And if you did you enjoy it?
Did you enjoy it? That these people are... made up of multiple New Yorkers that come in and choose to do that on New Year's. Because for all the amateur hour talk about going to clubs and bars, I can't imagine your big plans are, it's freezing out, I can't wait to get dressed warm and go stand next to 1,000 people during flu season and hold in my urine all night. That sounds like the worst way to start a year.
I agree.
It gives me major anxiety. If you were out there and you've done it, I want to know why and how the heck you managed the bathroom situation. The only person I think could handle this is actually, I brought this up the other night because I went to the Ranger Island game. Tiki, I don't know what my dad is doing. I have gone to a million sporting events with him over the last couple of years. I know he's not old enough that he's wearing diapers. This man will hold in going to the bathroom from the moment he leaves the house in Long Island to the moment he gets home every single time. Full giant games.
And he's tailgating?
Yeah. And I'm running back and forth like a million times at games. And I finally asked him, and I go, what is going on? Like, are you all right? Like, I haven't brought this up to you. Yeah, just hold it. I don't know how.
That is a skill.
So
two beers and I'm it's through me.
Half a bottle of water. You kidding me? It's 14, especially when the cold weather hits you. No doubt. But if you've been to Times Square New Year's, let us know why and how. 888-808-1019. Philip in Freeport. Philip, what's up?
Hey, Philip.
How you doing? First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You guys enjoy it. The reason why I'm calling today is, I mean, Sam Darnold, who's the talent evaluator at the Jets?
It's changed.
In that executive office.
It's changed multiple times.
What did he do? I mean, is this really true? He's the most prolific quarterback, the most wins, Sam Darnold?
Over the last two years.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And by the way, Philip, I know I'm interrupting you.
It's two different places. It's not even like it's continuity.
My God, I mean, what else you need? Y.A. Tittle? I mean, who are you going to... How many
Phillip,
guys are you going to lose?
Philip, can I defend the Jets for a second here?
Go ahead.
Okay. The Vikings won all of those games with Sam Darnold last year and openly chose not to re-sign him. And it wasn't
mistake.
As if... And it wasn't
was
as
a
if...
Mistake.
You're right. I totally agree. But it also wasn't as if when Sam Darnold hit free agency this year, the teams tripped all over themselves to sign Sam Darnold.
And it's funny you say that because I know you get just so much time to speak on the station. You guys sound fantastic. But, I mean, the Jets have defied logic. The salary cap, right, Tiki, is supposed to recycle and not promote, you know, dynasties.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the Jets have not, you know, prospered in free agency, trades, the draft. I mean, how can you continually be this bad?
Well, this is why
they've lost
10 straight, you know, no, 10 plus games in 6 straight years.
Oh.
At least 10 plus games in 6 years and haven't made the playoffs in a decade and a half. That's why. It's because he's right. Philip is right. They haven't drafted overly well, even though they have had some really good draft picks. Because, hell, 1 year, they had two that were rookies of the year.
Well, clearly we thought they had enough talent when they signed Aaron Rodgers. We all thought they had a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
100%. So they've done some things right. It's just never sustainable. So if they get the players right, they get the coaching wrong. They get the coaching right, they get the players wrong.
I mean, get the quarterback potentially right, they don't have the right infrastructure.
100%. So whether that's Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson or even going back to Geno Smith, who made a Pro Bowl after he left and went to Seattle. So nothing has aligned for this team. And it's almost unfathomable that you could that incompetency circles itself. You know what I mean? Because that's what it feels like it's happening.
Just when they fix one thing, the next thing becomes an utter disaster.
An utter disaster.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Pete in Babylon. Pete, what's up, man?
Hello, guys. How you doing? All right, Shawnee and Tiki, Nico even. I love you all. Nico, start with a happy and healthy new year.
Likewise. Yeah. Happy new year,
and,
bro.
I don't care what I'm a retired New York City firefighter, so I don't care what time you guys are on. I'll listen to you every day, like when I wake up in the morning.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate you, dude. What's up?
I want to help you out with one of the things you just came up with. I want two important giant points, but help you out with the New Year's thing. I picked up the detail a couple of times while I was on the job. Number one, 80% of the crowd are not New Yorkers. That's the first point I'm going to tell you.
Times Square, okay.
And number two, no doubt. they wear diapers, and they bring backup diapers because all you need is a garbage pail.
Somebody
70% of the crowd is in diapers, and they bring backup diapers because all you need is a garbage pail. Throw a diaper out, put another diaper on.
Oh,
you cannot leave the roped-off areas
and
get back in.
Right? That's what they told
thing
me.
That you can't go out and come back.
Pete, now, Pete, hold on. I'm going to let you stay on and make your point here. You mean to tell me that this many living, breathing Americans have that little pride for themselves that they need to stand outside in Times Square that day, that they're bringing diapers and backup diapers, and you sit next to a bunch of people going wee-wee in their pants?
And they're all from out of town, brother. They're not New Yorkers. New Yorkers can't be bothered.
Could you imagine?
That's amazing.
All right. But yes, don't go to a bar. It's amateur hour.
Right.
It is amateur hour, by the way. Two giant points. I'm going to start off with one that I know you guys have all heard the John Gruden, Jackson Dart conversation that he had in coaching camp and all that crap.
Yes.
We're not asking Jackson Dart not to be Jackson Dart. We just want Jackson Dart to listen to what Gruden said, which is
slide.
Bounds, learn how to slide.
No
We're
doubt.
Not asking him to not be. He's a football player. And you're right, Deke. It's not two-hand touch. But we just want him to go out of bounds when he can. Want him to slide when he can.
Yeah.
So we got him on the field and we can take us to the promised land. With that being said, with the Gruden thing, I called you with this once before, and Evan kind of made a little joke about it, but my dream coaching scenario, because you got to start there, guys. We need three coaches.
Yeah.
OC, DC, head coach.
Yep.
Jesse Minta, the head coach. Rookie, next superstar coach in the league. And then we're going to go with Gruden as an OC. We're going to go with Antonio Pierce as a DC. And let's go to the promised land, fellas.
Hey,
happy and healthy. I love you all.
Appreciate Thanks, you, man.
Pete. Happy New Year.
I don't know if John Gruden would settle for an OC position. I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
And what rookie head coach would want John Gruden as his OC thinking he could get undercut at any
time? That's a great point. Antonio Pierce, as much as I love him, because he's my dude, he's never been in D.C.
No.
Now, would I trust him to figure it out? 100%.
Yeah, I have less of an issue letting Antonio Pierce be a D.C.
Right, but my point is he doesn't have a...
No.
Like, hey, AP, we want you to be our D.C. Show me your resume. He doesn't have one. Now, he'd have to talk his way and talk about... like the mentality that he's going to bring to the defense and get smart with the X's and O's that he would bring. And by the way, I think he absolutely could do that. I think he'll be when he finally gets another head coach or not a coaching job, I think he'll be really good at it because he motivates the hell out of his unit, whatever that is, whether that was the team or whether it was the linebackers when he was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So
He was a linebackers coach before he got elevated.
Right, because Patrick Graham was the
DC.
Was the DC. Right. And so people thought when you fired...
who the heck they thought? Was it McDaniels?
McDaniels.
Yeah.
Why not let Patrick Graham... And why jump Patrick Graham and put Antonio Pierce? Now, it worked because they ended up playing well at the end, and he ended up getting the job. But they fired him a year later because he was trying to remake the roster.
Yeah, and he didn't have that much credence.
He had no leeway.
Now, the only thing I would say, and obviously we have no idea if he has a relationship with Jesse Minter or not anyway, if like in that dream scenario, my guess is, because there's a lot of these defensive-minded head coaches, mm-hmm. Minter, Halfley, Shula, if a guy like Antonio Pierce has never called plays defensively.
If Minter's head coach, he's not hiring AP.
Oh, I was going to say, though, doesn't that make more sense because you're not worried about him calling plays?
No, I think he's going to hire somebody who's with him.
With him, okay, because he wants to run his own defense.
He wants to run his own thing.
That makes sense. But either way, who cares about Antonio Pierce in that spot when you lead the call with, you know for a fact people are wearing diapers and backup diapers?
That's true.
I can't get over that.
I mean, it makes sense. Because I can't think of any other way that you don't have to go to the bathroom.
I know that makes sense.
I mean, do they sell alcohol down there?
I'm sure there's flasks and water bottles. I don't think it's legal to sell alcohol on the street. And I'm sure there's people are drinking.
But it's like a special Times Square thing.
I agree. If it is, it's being...
I mean, you're out there for hours.
If it's being sold, it's not being sold legally. You know, some guy with a cooler flipping it open.
Right.
How? I'm sorry. It can't be that fun that your decision to go out goes, hey, underneath my jeans, I'm strapping on something I put on my child or when I'm really, really old. That can't be a decision you make to have a time in the streets.
Okay, here's the thing. You can't leave. It's not like you have any privacy. So when you do go, hopefully just number one.
Yeah. How the hell number two, you're going home.
How the hell do you get it off?
You know what I mean? Guess you throw it.
Are you wearing a kilt?
You throw it. No, yeah, I think you throw out your clothes when you go home.
What? No. He said they have backups.
Oh, so get the diaper.
So they have the diaper. Yeah. How do you get the diaper off,
dude? I'm guessing you're probably wearing comfortable pants, and you're having the people you're with stand around you. That's disgusting. The whole premise is disgusting. I guess if there's that many people, is that the craziest thing you've seen in New York City? Somebody changed their own diaper in Times Square?
No.
Oh God. Just go enjoy a house party. Go bowling or something.
Wow.
JR in Somerville. JR, what's up?
Hey, what's up, JR? Happy New Year, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Happy New Year. I keep on calling after the most disgusting topics between the oil change last week and then this type of stuff. So, horrible timing by me.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Quick college football point, because I'm excited for the college football playoffs.
As
but I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know why the Mendoza talk is that he can do, why nobody's brought up the fact that he can do so poorly that he may actually go back to college and take the NIL money.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Cooper Flagg made $28 million in his year at Duke. I think that this guy, Mendoza, has the same type of draw. And I think he'd get at least $20 million to play quarterback and have a second shot at it, especially if he gets heated up by Alabama, which I think is going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah, well, I definitely think that's going to happen.
Especially JR, because he's the Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's easy money. It's packing $20 million onto what would be a rookie contract, essentially, which is that's insane.
Yeah, so, but Jay, remember that's 1 year of $20 million in NIL compared to 5 years of security right out of the jump in the league. And if you believe in yourself,
and you could have a regression year.
Yeah,
and then,
because
and
if
then
you
fall.
Take if you take that 1 year and 20, you may not come back as a first round pick next year if all else fails.
Well, that's all right. Well, that I think that could happen too. So that's a great point. Another great point you made was about Shuck and Dart, and that kind of angered me a bit because I believe the whole rookie odds is about New Orleans has a top 10 defense. People don't realize that. They have a no-name top 10 defense. And if Dart had that same top 10 defense, I think that he would, first of all, win more games.
Be close. They'd have 7 wins right now.
Yeah, they wouldn't be blowing the leads they blew in those games that Dart gave them the leads in.
Right.
Exactly. So the whole narrative, you mentioned certain people like Pat Leonard, whoever it may be, but the whole narrative that controls this team's got to stop. So the whole CTE stigma, I think, is more actually about him being Scataboo adjacent. I think that it is a running joke about having CTE, Carter having CTE, and nobody caring. But I keep on seeing this with the neighbor's tweet when he was tweeting about the decision to go for two or whatever it may be. And we keep on shaming these guys for being coded right. as good football players.
Right.
Neighbors is coded as a wide receiver one. I want him sending those tweets out. I want him locked into a game when he's not even dressed for it. Same thing for Dart and Scataboo. You know, I want guys that are going to actually be made to, you know, to play this game every Sunday. So that's something where I think the media needs to stop with it. Right. And we got to just back our guys up.
Yeah, I agree with you, JR. Appreciate your call, dude.
No, Scataboo.
It's true, though.
It is so true.
Like, the mentality of these young players became Cam Scataboo.
Yes.
Tough, like, reckless, just full of energy.
Yeah.
Young, dumb, full of, you know what, that type. That's what it felt like with these guys. And then he goes out, and now everybody's terrified of Jackson Dart.
Yeah, all eyes went to Jackson Dart, and every time he ran through the wall, it's such a good point. Such a good point. All right, we come back. Next hour, I want to get into real or no real, a little made-up game, but it involves our Giants and Jets and the locals in the offseason, plus maybe some bad news in terms of the Giants' quest for the number 2 overall pick. It's Evan and Tiki with Sean and Tiki here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.